All right, in sync with the Holy Spirit. Seems a bit quiet out there today. Can I have a laugh? Almost. I'm in sync with the Holy Spirit. So today is going to be the renewal of the Spirit, okay? This is something that is absolutely, as I've been doing this series, this is week three of the series, I've been getting really excited what the Spirit is doing in me. And so I hope you're understanding the messages that I've been giving you. Just 1 minute. I've done the ultimate sin here and chewing on chewing gum. Gone. Oh. Too much information? Well, that got you laughing, didn't it? Okay. Clean house. When I was in Thailand, I've got to let you know that when I'm in Thailand and I'm in my bed by myself, thank goodness, I get lonely. And so I always have the TV on and it's just on. There's a bit of a light. I don't know why that is, but ever since I've been a little kid, I've always had to have the radio on at night. I'm not allowed to have that because Sally doesn't like noise. So, but when I'm away, and I woke up at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the show Clean House came on, and I was preparing for this sermon here while I was over there, and this is the name of a show from an American style channel where experts in cleaning and organizing, remodeling, and painting sweep into a cluttered home, with the purpose of leaving it more comfortable, more attractive, and more livable. The experts face the challenges of clothes strewn, as you can see here, clothes strewn all across the floor, bulging cabinets, closed in filing cabinets with just stuff everywhere, from top to bottom, filled countertops, dirty overflowing kitchens, bedrooms, bathrooms and living rooms. Not a clean room in the house. Now I see a lot of nudging going on. The experts first take their first step in an inventory of all the stuff. They grab all the stuff and they take it to a warehouse and they sort it all out and lay it on the ground for the owner to see. Then the decisions are made about what to sell at a garage sale and what to keep. Now the home's inhabitants hesitate and hold on to favourite clothes that have gone by, childhood keepsakes, space-taking trivia. But then they yield. The sale is held and the money comes in to help the makeover. Then the family leaves and the work begins. Rooms are cleaned out, redone, and more efficiently and attractiveness and repainted, the house starts to take shape. Curtains are hung, cabinets are set, and the walls are decorated. A transformation takes place. And when the family returns, they are in shock. They can't believe it. Actually, everyone is in shock. Everyone is in shock, including the cat. Nervous anticipation quickly gives way to excitement and then laughter. And then the whole family sees as they see what has taken place in their new home. In the spiritual realm, probably have that one off now because it's probably going to annoy people. In the spiritual realm, there comes a time for each of us to take an inventory of our lives, get rid of some things, and do some repairing and remodeling. We need to clean house. And like the families on the show, we have an expert in remodeling and renovation. We have him with us 24/7. That is the Holy Spirit, who can make our makeover an astounding success. Either we'll be refreshed or empowered, along with others who look at your renewal in life, and they'll go, "I want what you've got." This is what the Holy Spirit can do. Just this morning, as we were praying out there, and I came, I said, Lord, just renew me, re-strengthen me this morning. And bang, he did. So you ask and you will receive. You've got to be accepting to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Time and time and time again, he will just empower you, refill you, refresh you. Okay, so far in this series, we've considered who the Holy Spirit is and how it convicts us in this world. Next week, I'll be finishing the series with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not miss next week. But this morning, I want to focus on the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Because each and every one of us, there comes times when we need a fresh start with God, where we can sweep the old junk out of our lives and bring in the new stuff inside. Titus 3, 5 and 6 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Now this rebirth and renewal was given to us initially when we became Christians. But there is an ongoing act of renewal that needs to take place on a regular basis as we live the Christian life. There are four areas in particular that I like to pray. And I like to pray to God's Holy Spirit power of renewal. And I'm hoping that you'll adopt these of your own today as we go through. So again, in your outlines. Number one, God, give me a new heart. God, give me a new heart. You know, biblically speaking, when we talk about the heart, we're talking about the seat of our emotions, the place where we either invite God in or we try to shut him out. Often when we first become Christians, we have a heart that is open to do the things of God and we're spiritually hungering his word. Can you go back to the time when you first gave your life to Christ? And someone gave you a Bible and you turned over the pages and you're going, oh my goodness, so much to read, so much to do. And you got into it. We can't imagine a time when we would not want to have a heart that is already willing to receive whatever God has given to us. But somewhere along the line, some of us choose not to hear from God the way we once did. And our ability to be spiritually sensitive seems to disappear. We find ourselves going through the motions, attending church, maybe even reading a Bible and praying a bit, but not having the ability to hear God any longer. Matthew 15:8 sends shudders up my spine every time I read it. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. That is a very convicting passage because it forces us to examine our hearts in the light of God's Spirit. Am I really praying to God or am I just mouthing empty words? Am I holding my hands up, praising worship to God, or am I just going with everyone else? Am I allowing the sermon to change me, or am I just politely taking notes and I'll throw them away a little bit later on this afternoon? I'll be checking the bins. Am I going to God's Word with the intent of learning what God has to say to me? Or just so I'll be able to check off my daily devotion as a reading schedule? If someone else had the ability to examine my heart today, would they see a heart that is drawing closer to God, or would they see it drawing further away? The good news is that if your heart is far away from God today, the Holy Spirit can bring renewal that will help you draw close to God all over again. And that's exciting. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 22, it says, "It is God who gives us, along with you, the ability to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the what? The Holy Spirit in our hearts as a first installment of everything that he will give us. Each and every one of you who profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit in your heart right now." Right now, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you want more of it?
Yes.
You know, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is already present. Now it's just a matter of allowing him to do his work of renewal. And that is my be my prayer all week, that this will happen this morning. David prayed, "Create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." And that is where we must also begin. Pray to God to give you a new heart, to renew you, to give you the ability to hear and see him again. Admit to God that your heart has not been in the right place, but that you know that with his help it can be made right again. If you really want to experience spiritual renewal, it has to begin right here with you, willing to open up to God and confess to him your heart's condition. That may be hard for some of us, but the Spirit will begin to do his work, reviving that was once so strong and true and making it whole again. Do you believe that? Come on. Number two, God, give me a new attitude. God, give me a new attitude. Whoa, that's a prayer. Perhaps you've heard of Donald Drusky. He's a man that took God to court. The one-time employee US Steel Company blamed God for failing to rectify the wrong done to him when he was fired in 1968. Well, Drusky waged a 30-year battle with the steelmaker before deciding to take legal action against God in 1998. This is a true story. The suit read, "The defendant, God, is the sovereign ruler of the universe and took no corrective action against the leaders of his church and his nation for their extremely serious wrongs which ruined the life of Donald S. Drusky." Well, for damages, Drusky asked for the return of his youth, a skill of a great guitarist, and the resurrections of his mother and pet pigeon. True story. Drusky hoped that God would fail to appear in court, allowing him to win the case by default. Thankfully, the case was declared frivolous and thrown out by the court. Now, while Drusky obviously took extreme measures, I don't think his attitude towards God is all that uncommon. Many people tend to blame God for everything that has gone wrong in their lives, while others get upset if God doesn't answer their prayers exactly the way that they think he should do. And then others don't necessarily have a bad attitude towards God. They really have a bad attitude concerning people in general, like their bosses or their spouses or their friends or their work colleagues. Now, when my attitude, I just stumble on my, when my attitude toward God or others isn't right, then my spiritual life is also going to be going, start to go down the tubes. Ephesians 4:22-23 says this, "Throw off your evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. See, we need to understand that when Paul wrote this, he was addressing it towards the people who were already Christians, which just goes to show that this attitude problem is nothing new. And sadly, we see it out there in the world, but even more sadly, we do see it in the church today. But what does he tell us to do about it? He says, throw it off like dirty clothes. And then we're able to enter into a process of spiritual renewal. If this is a problem in your life or mine, we need to go to God and say, God, my attitude stinks. That's as plainly as I can put it. Please help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to become a new person. Show me how to look at you and other people through your eyes instead of my own. You know, on Wednesday night, as Chrissy just said, she stole a bit of what I was going to say this morning, but I'll repeat it because you probably forgot it. We forget things pretty easily, don't we? So on Wednesday night, we listened to a chap who read out Ephesians 4:30, which says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, just reading that passage, it changed a lot of what happened Friday morning in my office. See, people hold on to unforgiveness because they haven't understood that they have been forgiven. And I was in a situation Friday where something had come up through the chain of the organisation about a family and that had to pay a debt to a part of the organisation. And God reminded me of that. And I was going, justice. I was going, justice, justice. No, it's justice. We've got to. And God just went, bang. What did I say to you last night? I was starting to act. I'll be honest. I was starting to get a bit angry. Say, well, no, it's not right. Then God gave me that verse, reminded the verse. Said, I've forgiven you of your debt. Come on. So I rang up another person. I said, no, we've got to do this. And it's so true. Until we understand that we have been forgiven, then we will start forgiving other people. But you've got to understand that you have been forgiven. Amen? You've been forgiven. Everything. Wow. Did you deserve it? No. But you were forgiven. Everything is God's. Everything is God's. He will judge the living and the dead. Give it to God. If you're in this room this morning and someone owes you a debt that's making you angry, that's making you say harsh words, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's God's, not yours. Number three. God, give me a new desire. Billy Graham wrote a book, The Leadership Secrets, and in this book, he wrote of a fishing story. So, blokes, here's a fishing story for you. In 1999, for the first time in 47 years, local fishermen discovered that bluefin tuna were running only 30 miles off Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and they were biting. You didn't have to be a professional to catch them. All you needed was a sharp hook and some bait. And the rewards for doing so were substantial. Japanese buyers were willing to pay $50,000 for a large bluefin tuna. As a result, many ignored the Coast Guard warnings and headed out to sea in small, unequipped boats. What these new fishermen didn't realise that the problem wasn't catching a tuna, it was getting them onto the boat. On September 23, 1999, the Christie Anne, a 19-foot boat, capsized while doing battle with a tuna. The same day, the 27-foot boat Basic Instinct suffered the same fate, while Official Business, a 28-foot boat, was swamped after it hooked onto a 600-pound tuna. The tuna simply pulled it underwater. Would you like to hook on one of them, Rob? Now, these fishermen underestimated the power of the fish that they were trying to catch. Something very similar happens to us when we give in to our sinful desires. A small indiscretion appears to be worth the risk. It's only after we give that, then we discover the true strength of our sin. Wouldn't it be great that if, when we became Christians, that all we would desire would be the things of God? Everything would be the desires of God. That we would never be pulled in by sin, that we would never be look back at our life and but before Christ longingly, that he would be all that we want, all that is pure, all that is holy, all that is just, and all that is true. But you and I both know that that's not how it works. It seems like only moments that after we accept Christ, we find ourselves desiring the old sinful nature again. Galatians 5:16 to 17 says, I advise you to live accordingly to your new life in the Holy Spirit. I advise you to live accordingly to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from the conflict. Remember last week I spoke about the angel and the devil, which is not really, it's the Holy Spirit in our flesh. Don't blame the devil for the dumb things that you do. It's you that do them, not him. The devil is not in you. You've got to remember that. Yeah, there may be temptations from the devil, but it's your choice whether you do it or not. And you, as I said last week, you've got a 24/7 trainer in the Holy Spirit right there inside you going, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. Your choices are never free from conflict. Never. Paul says he began by telling us that we can rely on the renewal of the Spirit during these times of temptation. Have you ever, in the midst, being drawn into a sinful desire, stopped and prayed, God, I am falling here. I am tempted by sin and I need myself and I can feel myself giving into it. Please empower me by your Holy Spirit to overcome. I have done that many times, and every single time God has answered that prayer. It is only when I don't pray that prayer and ignore the promptings of the Spirit that I give into the desires that I have. If we'll only stop ourselves before sin takes over and pray, then the Spirit will renew us and give us the power to overcome whatever Satan is throwing at us. God knows that we struggle. We just got to remember that this is not the world that we live in. We are not of this world. We're in the kingdom of God. Number four, God, give me new hope. Give me new hope. I remember one morning getting up and feeling in a generous mood. I bounced out of bed and I went into the kitchen and told the kids that they could have fruit, toast, cereal, which is the norm. But then I said, and you can have pancakes and waffles. And one of them thought for a moment, looked up at me and asked, Dad, did you say chocolate and ice cream? That's hope. That's hope. For some of us, the problem is that when we started our Christian adventure, we were filled with hope. But something has happened to change all that. Perhaps it's just like life. Well, it is. It's like life in general. Or maybe something traumatic has happened to you that has challenged your belief systems. Or maybe we just forgot to focus on the future God has planned for us. But somewhere along the line, many of us have lost our hope. In Romans 15:13, it says this, I pray that God who gives you hope will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what kind of prayer is that, Paul? A prayer for power? Yes. A prayer for strength? Yes. A prayer for comfort? Yeah, okay. But a prayer for hope? Is that really something that we need? Hope? You bet it is. Because until we experience the renewal of hope, the other things aren't going to matter at all. Until we believe in God's preferred future, until we understand that a better day is coming, and until we begin to see things through the eyes of heaven, we are not going to be able to overcome these other areas. You see, we need to know that God is real. And that heaven is just down the path of life. If we are going to be able to deal with the life in the here and now. As human beings, we are created to look forward to the future. And if we are not convinced of that future, of something much better than what we have now, we are going to give up. Please understand that through the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, that kind of hope can be ours. Right now, right here. We need to pray along with Paul. God, give me a new hope, one that is sure and exciting and real. Give me an insurance of the future. Help me believe that everything that you have promised me is going to come to pass. And God will give you exactly what you ask for if you only trust him. You know, I was talking about the clean house. And I woke up this morning and I jumped out of bed. It was about 3 o'clock this morning. I jumped out of bed, walked around my bed, walked straight into the toilet and came back and then walked back and jumped back into bed. Well, 2 weeks ago, if I had done that, I would have hopped out of bed, twisted my ankle on a few pairs of shoes, gone and hit all the clothes, tripped over my belt and some other clothes, walked out, hit something else and then gone into the toilet and then come back and did it all over again. Why? Because at the corner of my bed, I throw all my jackets, all my pants for the week. Sometimes there might be some socks. I put all my shoes and just throw them down there, and Sally hates it. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Hey, listen to that. But I'm humbling myself. This is hard for me to. It's hard, honey. It's hard. But just this week, on my day off, I woke up and I thought, how can I bless my wife? So I got up and I cleaned out my drawers and my wardrobe and everything, and everything's all nice and the shoes are all put away. There's nothing on the end of the bed so she can make the bed easily, and it's her job. No. Keep going, digging a hole. Okay. Come on, hear me out. So anyway, I cleaned it all up. And so this side of the bedroom, like that side of the bedroom, looked really good. And I went into Sally. I said, honey, my side of the bedroom's really clean. When are you going to tidy yours up? Well, I've had baked beans and toast for the last... No, I haven't. The point is that when I cleaned up all my mess, I actually felt good going into my room. I actually wanted to go into my room. I felt good. I felt renewed. I got rid of a lot of stuff that I've been hoarding. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in each and every one of you. There's stuff that we need to clean out or clean up in our lives. And when we do, it's a personal thing. See, Sally can still be messy on her side of the bed. That's okay. She has to deal with that personally in herself. Me, I've dealt with it. Until next week when I leave all the stuff on the end of the bed. It's like this, it goes, it's a circle. But every time I do that, and I do it a lot, every time I do that, I feel good. And it wasn't until the other night that I suddenly realised that that's like the Holy Spirit. When we declutter, when we clean up, we feel good in ourselves. There's something in us that just, we just feel good. Amen? Can I have the music team up, please? So in conclusion, as we draw a close to this morning, I want you to think about the Holy Spirit's presence in your life right now. I want you to ask these questions right now. Is he real? Yes, he is. Is he active? Yes, he is. Is he renewing your spirit as we speak today? I hope so. The truth is that many Christians go through life without experiencing renewal. Because of whatever reason, they don't take the time to ask God for it. Or they've probably never been taught that's what they can do. Let's ask him for renewal together as we pray. Why don't we all stand? I'm not going to do an altar call this morning. I'm going to do an altar call next week. I'm going to do an altar call because I'm going to pray a prayer for each and every one of you this morning, right there. Afterwards, if you need prayer for healing, or you want me to pray for you, or you want the elders to pray, or the prayer team to pray for you, please come forward and we would love to pray for you. But just right now, I just crafted this prayer this morning. And it's from this morning's sermon. And I believe today is going to be a starting of something new and fresh for a lot of you people. So let us pray. Eyes shut, heads bowed. Lord, give us all a new heart. Renew our energy. Renew our excitement and renew our faith. Refan the flame that is already inside us and draw us closer to you. Create in us a clean heart. Lord, please adjust our attitudes. Sometimes they do stink, and we seek your forgiveness in this area. Help us to get rid of any bitterness, any rage, any anger, any words that are harmful and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, make us kind to others, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as you forgave us. Lord, renew our desire for the things that you desire. God, the times when we're tempted to start to fall into sin and feel ourselves giving into it, please empower us by your Holy Spirit to overcome. Lord, you told us that we are overcomers, that we live in victory. I pray that revelation will hit every person in this place this morning. Lord, I pray for our hope to be renewed. I pray that God, who gives us hope, will keep you happy, will keep us all happy and full of peace as we believe in you. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us. God, give us a new hope that is sure, that is exciting, that is real. Give us an insurance of the future. Help us all to believe that everything that you have promised each and one of us is going to come to pass. Lord, we are so expectant and so excited to be renewed by your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty, 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 mighty name. Amen. Amen. Do I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Let's sing.